The only way to reach buyers is through the voices that surround them. The future of go-to-market is about surrounding buyers with who. The future is Nearbound. Introducing Jared Fuller's book, Nearbound and the Rise of the Who Economy. Join us live from Paris on February 27th for the virtual book launch. Register at www.nearboundbook.com. We'll see you there.
Howdy, partners. Welcome back to another edition of the Howdy Partners podcast. Joined by myself, the man with the awful mustache, and my co-host, Will, who has a much better looking mustache. Will, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You shocked me with that thing when you came on video.
I can tell. It's been pretty shocking all day, I'll tell you that. I strategically did this when I didn't actually have any partner calls today, not to freak anyone out on that side. So it was all internal. But yeah, I feel okay with it, but it's going to be gone in 3 days.
Right. What I don't know what you're trying to say here. It sounds like you're trying to say that mustaches are freaky. I've had one for a while, but I'll deal with it. I'll live with
you're,
it.
I mean, yeah, you're used to it. I'm not. And so I just go like full blown when I have the ability to do so. And now I don't know how to recover aside from shaving it off.
I love it.
And we've got a great guest on today for the people listening. So Pat, we'd love to have you introduce yourself. You are much better, at least looking, than I am right now. Probably on par with Will. We were talking about that a little bit earlier, so it can only go up from here. But Pat, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Appreciate that. I didn't realize it was mustaches only. I still got the full beard, although, you know, the little different shades than it was, you know, a couple of years ago, certainly before I, you know, moved down the career path I'm in now. But, you know, I think I could pull off the mustache. It's always kind of been the weaker part of my beard, but I don't know, maybe I'll give it a go one of these days.
You're with me on that. It's definitely the weaker part of my beard. It comes in a little bit lighter. But let's get off the subject of mustaches for now and dig into the actual topic. So the reason we have Pat on today is to talk a little bit more about fractional partner management and specifically tying that to Nearbound execution. So Pat, before we kind of get into it, why don't you tell us about your partnership experience, your journey in partnerships, and how it's led to where you're at now?
Sure. I have been, over 20 years in technology space, primarily with e-commerce and content management platforms. And the past 15 years I've been responsible for building, managing, maintaining, growing ecosystem partnerships and partner programs at a number of those companies. First company I had an opportunity to build the partner program went from 0 to 60 partners, technology vendors over 3 years with the full integration marketplace, built a pipeline upwards of $15 million of sourced revenue through that program. And then more recently was at another e-commerce platform and did similar things on the agency and SI side of things and built out from, you know, kind of a core set of, 5 or 6 initial partners to, over 60 partners, over the 3 years that I was running that, side of things on the North America, side there. Similar results, grew a nice, upwards of $15 million in source revenue, programs. So done that a couple of times. And now I've set out and I want to bring that ability and those types of results to a broader set of companies. And so I am taking on consulting opportunities and have launched a new consulting business for learning how and teaching companies how to partner better.
Right. I think there are a lot of companies out there. One, the idea of spreading the partnership wealth and knowledge to companies that might not know about it is awesome to see. I think that's what every partner professional wants to do. But there's also the companies that just don't have the understanding or maybe the bandwidth to pull on a full blown partnership model right now. So, let's get right to the brass tacks, which is why, or what are you seeing, or why are more companies considering more of the fractional partner management aspect or just partnerships in general?
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, there is, you know, a good deal of momentum, you know, behind partnering and developing business through your partner network. And what I experienced in my career, you know, working on the platform side of things, I partnered with a lot of, you know, agencies and integrators who, you know, a lot of times didn't have anyone on the team that was, you know, purely focused on, you know, building partner relationships and, you know, had a background in managing those things. A lot of times it was, you know, depending on the size of the agency or the integrator, it was the founder. And, you know, along with all of the other hats they were wearing, they were taking on, you know, that partner management role as well. You know, and going from zero to 100, you know, in a role that you've not done before is difficult. And when it's not your full-time job, right, it can be difficult as well. And so I think the fractional model, you know, works well in those types of scenarios where, you know, it's a hat someone else is already wearing. There's, you know, maybe not the budget or the need for a full-time committed resource, but somebody has to take it on and look at it as their primary role or activity. And so I think fractional lends itself very well to this, you know, this type of opportunity.
I would second that, because when you're handed the cap of partnerships, you're handed probably five other caps along with it, because it's not just you do partnerships. It's okay, you do co-marketing, you do, you know, product development, road mapping, all that kind of stuff. So I think the fractional model definitely makes sense, especially in this market where people may not want to invest in that hiring process, which is very lengthy. So I'm really excited that you're seeing success in this and that more companies are thinking about this as they are also thinking about a partnerships and nearbound strategy. I'm curious about your take on when you've come into these organizations. I'm curious what challenges you've found most organizations face when they are maybe trying to do it without a specific person to manage it, and not necessarily the cleanup that you have to do, but the common misconceptions or common mistakes that these organizations are facing. What's your take?
Yeah, I think the you know, the place where they struggle a little bit is focus. So one of the things that I try to do, come in and say, you know, let me take on you know, your biggest pain point with your partners. Let's run a specific playbook, or let's set up a specific KPI or set of KPIs on things that I can help you improve. And so it helps them focus a bit on what is really important to them with some of their partnerships in a way that maybe they hadn't before, right? I mean, they might be, you know, focused on enabling their team on the technology and making sure they're certified and trained, or making sure the customers and the projects they're working with this partner are on track and successful. Or maybe it's purely on the biz dev side of things. We need to go and figure out how to grow and build more business together. They can probably still wear the hats on some of those things, but as a fractional, you know, partner manager, I can come in and say, point me at one of those things and I will go off and make that really successful.
That's pretty cool. And I don't want to diminish the idea that you made a really good point, which is, and we've talked about this, Will, on the show before, which is partner managers or just partnerships in general, you are inevitably going to be tasked with wearing several different hats and learning about the different aspects of your organization in order to probably wear those hats successfully. So whether that's working with CX, working with sales, like being more of a relationship builder, but then understanding how to project manage, those are all really difficult things. And when you look at companies that don't have a program right now, it's most likely a big piece of that is because they can't go elsewhere. So like Pat, you bring up a good point, which is coming in to reduce a lot of the stress and just take like one or two of those hats away to actually chisel away at some meaningful pieces is really important. So now you come in under a fractional model, you start to take those one or two initiatives or one or two like problem or pain points that, you know, whoever is tasked with doing that has, and it's starting to work. Where do you start to see this, or I guess, how do you start to see the near-bound methodology play in as a solution? And how much has that come up recently in your fractional work?
Yeah, I've really adopted near-bound as, you know, a framework that I am, you know, helping companies execute. And, you know, it's really easy to talk about. A lot of the, you know, again, the founders and the leaders and the sales folks and the people that I'm talking to, they may not have heard about it, but they're definitely intrigued by it. And then when I paint a picture that, you know, starts with, well, you know what inbound is, you know what outbound is, you know, nearbound is this third way where you're leveraging your relationships to help drive, you know, new business, new engagement, new opportunities, you know, then the lights start to go on. And I thought, well, we never, you know, really thought about it like that. And then, you know, a lot of companies have started down this path. And, you know, again, it takes some structure and it takes some programmatic approaches that, again, maybe they don't have the time, you know, to figure out or give the attention to, or they've never done it before. But, right. You know, really where I'm, you know, helping companies execute right now is that near-bound execution. Meaning, okay, we've got Reveal, we've got the tool, we're connected to the partners, we're seeing some data, now what do we do, right? And so my approach is come in and say, okay, you've got to get your rules of engagement established, right? When you see those crossovers with those different scenarios of prospects and opportunities and customers, what is the playbook you're going to run with the partner? And by the way, you've got to get the partner on board with that, right? And you have to get everybody in agreement. And, you know, sometimes you run across partners where there's a mismatch and they say, nah, we're just not ready to do that yet. Okay, so we shift and we find the right partner set that wants to operate with us in a nearbound capacity. We set up those rules of engagement. And then the whole other piece that, you know, a lot of people, you know, gloss over is the enablement side, right? You have to enable your sellers to understand what the process is. You have to enable your customer success team to understand why they're going to go through this effort of making these introductions to these partners, because they understand, you know, what the upside is and the reciprocity that's going to come out of it. So getting everybody on the same page and everybody enabled, you know, that's a key part that, to me, you know, it's what, you know, the companies are missing, right? We've got the tools. Now, how do we actually execute that process? So I focus a lot on that.
That's really interesting. That's it's very meta, because I'm doing the same, you know, at Reveal and at, you know, the nearbound.com IP and all that. And so it's I'm going through it myself, and I'm not going to say that, you know, we're perfect at it. We understand the methodology and we've got practice with it, but there's always nuances. So I'm curious about how you are helping sellers to understand this. So, you know, you mentioned you explain it through the lens of outbound and inbound. And how do you get the light bulb to turn on for these sellers to then say, great, I get it, I'm going to take action on it. And, you know, maybe I need some help with from the partner manager on our team or from Pat, but ultimately I'm taking action myself. So I'm mostly curious around how you get the light bulb to switch on for sellers so that they are not needing to rely so much on the partner manager and they're thinking about this idea of nearbound themselves. What's the either practice or the process that you take them through to get them there?
Well, I like to have them flip it around and say, look, if someone was coming to you and asking for this introduction, you would say, well, why on earth would I do that, right? That's usually their first reaction. And so then I try to get them to think, well, if someone was adding value to your process and to your account and to the conversations you're having, then what's your response going to be? So I tell them, come to the table with something. You know, when you come in and say, hey, can you get me introduced? That's not going to get you very far. Can you get me introduced? We work with X, Y, and Z who are, you know, competitors to these guys or very similar business models. Here's the value we've added to those guys. Here's how we've done that. Here's how we've engaged. Here's where, you know, we sold and what we had success with in our approach. This is why we think, you know, this is going to be effective in this account as well. Here's what we know about the account. You're deeper into it. You've got an active opportunity, or you know they're a current customer of yours. But here are all of the things we know, and here's some value we can add, you know, to your knowledge about the account and your ability to succeed with the account as well. So come in and add value. Don't just ask for something. Bring something to the table.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you mentioned something earlier too on, like it's really easy to paint the picture. It's kind of easy to take action, right? Like understanding it when you're looking at Crossbeam or Reveal or all these like different tool sets that can aggregate and to then say like, okay, we know where we need to go. Somewhat tough to do because you're kind of unveiling different playbooks or like different anxieties around how do we reach out. I want to go back to the idea around how to kind of like make that easier, like make it easier for someone to understand like the next steps, which ties into how you enable your internal teams to understand the approach and the methodology. Would love to get your takes on how you found that to be successful or some of the pain points or kind of, you know, roadblocks that you hit when enabling internally around the Nearbound lens.
Yeah. Some of the pushback that I've had and some of the roadblocks I've seen, number one, you know, some people just think their customer relationships are too valuable, right? I can't, you know, bring anything into that conversation that, you know, might not be correct or might not be, you know, the right approach. Well, I mean, that really means that you don't have a very good relationship there, right? If you are not established as a trusted advisor and you can't, you know, come into that, you know, key decision maker or key point of contact and say, hey, there's something I'd like you guys to take a look at. I think it might be valuable, and here's why. Are you willing to make that in, or for me to make that introduction? You know, then you have to rethink what type of relationships do you have anyway. If they're so brittle that, you know, yeah, even the thought of potentially introducing someone in there that might not be the perfect fit, you know, doesn't work, then that's an issue. But it is some pushback that I've had. Some people just say, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. Okay, that's a hard, you know, type of organization to take that with. But I push back and say, look, you know, what type of relationship do you really have? You know, the other place where I've seen the struggle, you know, trying to implement a Nearbound strategy with partners, just where there's a mismatch in the profiles of the company, right? If I'm a, you know, really small, you know, system integrator, and I'm going to my platform partner, who is, you know, a mega vendor, and I go in and say, hey, we're going to run this playbook, and we're going to, you know, do all these Nearbound activities, and here's what we're going to do with joint opportunities, and here's what we're going to do with joint prospects, and that, you know, mega vendor push of it, we don't work with partners that way. Sorry.
Right.
So you kind of have to choose your partners, and you have to get their buy-in, right? Yeah. And you have to get them aligned and say, look, this let's put some structure to this process, and you've got to put some skin into it as well. Enable your side, I'll enable my side, and everybody understands, you know, what we're trying to accomplish here.
Yeah, so it's the idea of, you know, especially in the integration model or the example you use there, it's really trying to find the similar position or similar size, similar standpoint companies that are willing to invest and see this as a mutually beneficial kind of joint effort. It's so funny that you bring up just the idea of like going to the mega dealers or the top dogs, and it's their way or the highway. And then at some point you grow far enough and you're in that position. And I really hope that a lot of like the newer programs or the newer partnerships that are evolving and maybe modern or maybe becoming more established realize that at some point you're going to be in that position and there's going to be a smaller dog that's going to want to do this. And I think being open to the idea that if it's going to bring mutually beneficial success to both, like don't shut it off. Like, well, let's just put it that way. Awesome, Pat. So let's move into some of the last phases here, which is, let's say you've got some establishment with the one from like a fractional standpoint, kind of coming in, just reshaping or refocusing some of the pain points that, you know, the team is having, and then bringing that kind of Nearbound jazz or spice to it that you want from both of those collectively. What are like the top one to two tips that you would say from a partner team standpoint they need to work on to stand this framework up?
You know, certainly, you know, just putting the process down and understanding, you know, all of the phases of it, you know, establishing, you know, really what the KPIs you want to track. You know, the thing that I've, you know, had to get, you know, companies to think about, look, this is a long-term iterative play, right? It's not just going to turn on a revenue spigot overnight, right? It's a long-term process. So let's measure the things that move us down the path in the right direction and make sure we're tracking to those things that get us to, you know, that point. And one of the things that I've, you know, run into as well in a lot of cases, right, where we're working with referral partners, where there's some type of referral structure already in place. You know, a lot of times, you know, that one of those partners is, you know, you bring a referral to me, that's great, but you know, make sure it's fully qualified, right? Until you tell me there's a budget and a need and authority and all those things, let's not even talk about it. Yeah. And I try and get companies to think at a higher level and say, conversations are good. Conversations start somewhere. Let's, you know, they may not have a project yet. They may not have a budget. They may not have even identified the need, but hey, here's a complimentary solution that I think would be a great fit for you guys. Would you mind if I introduced you? You can start those conversations at a much higher level and think higher up the funnel than, hey, let's get, we only want to talk about these fully baked opportunities that are ready to go and you're walking me right into them. That just doesn't happen all that often, and right. Be willing to open it up a little bit and just start to have, you know, those collaborative conversations and introductions.
Yeah, it reminds me of two conversations that I actually had this week, or one conversation and one thing I saw on LinkedIn. One, you know, a conversation that I actually brought my integrations team onto a call, and I'm much more on the channel and agency side. But the idea of bringing kind of like that mutual, like, hey, like, would you want an introduction to these guys? Like, they're in your market, you know, they're TCPA compliance. We're working with like a roofing company. And just to see that kind of unfold from like a partner lens perspective, it brings more value than you could almost ever explain by like, hey, I've got a couple of like leads for you. It's the idea of like bringing introductions closer together where it makes sense and where there's a fit. So it's captivating to hear you talk about this, because I think a lot of people are living in a partnership world where we're seeing some of this nearbound happen. You just don't know that it's this nearbound approach. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for the audience, being able to like understand that nearbound is a thing, and then two, try and listen for some of those pieces that are probably already happening and then capitalize that, start to see how you can do that forward. And then the other piece on the KPIs, you were kind of talking about this earlier, like let's come in and establish some KPIs. I want to get your quick thought on, you know, if you're going in from whether it's a fractional standpoint or not, but you're entering a company that is really just starting with partnerships. And I've seen this numerous times, and I actually fully agree with it, that setting KPIs from like an actual metric or a revenue standpoint might be too premature in some scenarios, where like, let's actually build some metrics or some obtainable goals around asset creation, around an enablement track, around building out our IPP, our partner journey. And I would just want to get your sense for how do you think that changes based on the maturity of the organization, and more specifically the partnership program, for what those KPIs are?
Yeah, it definitely depends on where they're at in their life cycle, right? In terms of partnerships. And, you know, there's the whole spectrum of where you're coming into. You know, for me, it goes back to, you know, again, as I go in and look at these organizations, and they're, you know, if they're early on in their partnering, you know, strategy, I really try and get them to think about internal alignment, you know, before they even go external and start to work and recruit and discover and onboard the partners, right? What are the internal alignments that need to be in place, right? If you've not had that alignment and you've not, you know, ensured that your sales, your marketing, your customer success teams, not only are they supportive, but they actually have KPIs that are related to the success and the partner program you want to create, right? When you just say, well, we need to do partners, let's hire a partner manager, and you haven't done that process of getting that internal alignment and getting those supportive KPIs established. Every other organization should own some KPI that is related to supporting that new partner channel. If you expect in the next 3 years to start to get 30, 40, 50% of your revenue flowing through that partner channel, every other piece of your organization better be bought into and supporting and measuring how they're supporting that, if that's that important of an initiative for you. And so that's where I've seen a lot of companies, you know, fail. They just, you know, we're going to hire a partner person, somebody that's been there and done that, and that's all we need to do. And they're off and running. And I'm trying to get them to think about, let's get that internal alignment ready for that partner manager to come on and be successful.
That would be the absolute pipe dream. Partnership still has a little bit ways to go to get to that point, but you're speaking everything that is going to be in place as we move forward. This is good stuff, Pat. So to wrap up now, we always try and give our audience one tactical takeaway, something they could implement easy or think about easily from the conversation. So in terms of what we talked about today, what's that one tactical tip you can give the audience, maybe around, you know, fractional partnerships or just like actually bringing Nearbound into that, into partnerships in general?
Yeah, I mean, I'll focus on Nearbound. And again, in my experience, this is where, you know, partners struggle, right? You get, hey, you're on Reveal, I'm on Reveal. It's great. Let's throw our data in there and see what happens, right? Yeah. Well, now you have to do the work to get to the see what happens part, right? Create the rules of engagement with your partners and make sure everybody understands what those rules are. Do the enablement of your internal teams that are going to be engaged in those Nearbound motions. And I think, you know, and probably most everybody listening to this podcast, right, is bought into, you know, the right. Nearbound approach. So these are things you can take on and start to do yourself as you're managing these Nearbound motions. Just get them established, put them down on paper, and then make sure everybody gets on board with it.
Love it. I also fall into that mix. It's like you get all your data together. Now what? And I think it's just being intentional about really taking that next step. So I think that's a very valuable takeaway. Pat, it was great to have you on the show. We will catch you all next time on another episode of Howdy Partners.